I'm going to start doing a new thing. Sometimes I forget that we can do church differently here. It's one of the great things about doing being Baptist. And so I'm going to start doing a new thing. If you come across a song, but you're not completely sold out to what you're singing, y'all can sit down. You can. I mean, you might be really into the next song, but there's that song about, it was the second one you sang, the legacy song, and about letting every second point to him and living that kind of life, or not wanting to necessarily leave a legacy, or wanting to abandon your own dreams for the dreams of the kingdom and the things of the kingdom. And so, or those, even in the 11 o'clock service, or where we sing more hymns, and you sang them here too. Look, that song, I Surrender All, you've heard about that song. So wouldn't that be great if when we're singing I Surrender All, those people who are still holding stuff back, y'all get to sit down? Wouldn't that be great? That's what we're going to start doing, is if you don't completely mean the words you're singing, you could just sit down. No, we don't want to do that. Okay, fair enough. I was just checking. I just wanted to see how that would fly. It is a big, big task. It's a big call on our lives to surrender everything, to want every second of our lives to point to Christ, to want everything that we possibly can do to be all about God. It's a big task. But it's what we sing on Sunday. It's what we read in Scripture, is what we hear in our sermons. And whether you hear them here on Sunday morning or some of you listen to Christian radio, it's a big task, is what we're called to. It's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Today is not one of those sermons where I want to guilt you into anything. As a matter of fact, I would love for this to be a sermon at a time where we could just really release some things. Really maybe leave this place feeling a little lighter, a little better about ourselves, a little closer to heaven. I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy journey, but that's the goal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for just your presence here in our lives, and thank you again for this opportunity. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O God, who is our strength and or Redeemer. Amen. We heard a little bit about it in the children's sermon. You can picture this scene. You've all seen this before. A group of children sitting down, playing on the ground, and they're surrounded by toys. And then one of them reaches for one of the toys, and another one reaches, grabs the toy that the other one just picked up, snatches it back, and says this word, mine. You ever seen that happen? Yeah, we've all seen it happen. Mine! My toy, my whatever it is. And from the very youngest age, we spend our time trying to get rid of that. The problem is that we live in a society that just seems to propagate this. Mine, 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 my toy, my this, my that. As a matter of fact, World War II was started, not just the only war. The Crusades were started with the same thing. But World War II is the one that comes to mind right now. Germany started the war because they wanted to take back land that they figured was just theirs. We do it in our personal lives as well. I mean, not just Israel and Palestine fighting or Pakistan and India fighting for the province of Kashmir, all of these people fighting for things that they think are theirs. In our personal lives, we have my car, my house, my this, my property, mine, 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 mine. From the very youngest age to the very oldest age, living in a scriptural world where the Bible tells us this in Psalm 24, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We read one thing in Scripture, but we are in a culture of mine, mine, mine. And we can't get enough. There's a story told about these two friends who met for dinner, and one looked sad and almost on the verge of tears, and the other man said, "Hey, my friend, how come you look like the whole world is caved in?" And the sad fellow said, "Let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $50,000. Well, the friend is kind of taken aback. He said, well, that's not bad at all. Hold on, said the sad friend. I'm just getting started. 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never knew kicked the bucket and left me $95,000 tax-free. Well, the other guy is confused. He said, well, that's great. I'd like that. And the sad friend said, wait a second, I'm not finished. Last week, my grandfather passed away. I inherited $1 million. And the other friend said, why are you so sad? The sad fellow said, well, this week, nothing. Explain that to you guys after church. But some people, never enough. No matter what they have, never enough. There's a Christian author who puts it this way. His name's Gail Irwin. He puts it this way. He says, I still find my corrupt heart longing for tomorrow's bread. He said, I can make a good argument to God about how effective I can be if he would only supply me with enough advance funds. It's a little frightening to pray for today's bread. That means I must pray again for tomorrow and believe again for tomorrow. My greedy heart is willing to be corrupted by a little bit of riches so I can see my warehouse full of bread. I can make a good argument about how God won't have to be bothered with me every day if he would just advance me about 10 years worth of bread. That's how we think. And we do, hey, God, you know, if I would just win the lottery, there's so much I can do. I've made the same argument. I'm guilty. We want stuff. And we never have enough. But I can ask you this question. How many of us live in excess? Maybe I can ask it this way. How many of us have more than we need? More room, more vehicles, more food than we can possibly eat. How many of you got two freezers? You don't have to raise your hand. You know, the one in the garage and the one in the house. Maybe three. And here's the thing, there's nothing wrong with having that much. But here's the other thing, is not everybody in this room can raise their hand. Not everybody in our community can raise their hand. You probably know people in this community that have to choose between medicine and food. That have to choose between whether they're going to pay the light bill this month, whether they're going to pay the utility bill this month because it was so cold, and whether they're going to have food on their table. Or insulin for their diabetes. I'm not talking about third world countries. I'm talking about Supply, North Carolina. And there may be people here today. See, I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but there may be people sitting right here today who couldn't raise their hand because they don't have enough today. But how many of us have enough? How many of us have more than enough? That was just the first question. Here's the second question. This is kind of a different question. It'll connect a little later on. How many of you have ever been angry because you lost something physical? Let me give you an example. Let me put it a different way. How many of you have ever done something unchristian? Because something happened to something physical. Let me paint this picture for you. You just got your new car. And somebody hits it with a shopping cart. Now you were inside the store. You never saw it happen. But you came out. It's your brand new car. And there's a dent in your door. How many of you have been so angry at that? That you thought unchristian things? Again, you don't have to raise your hand. And it doesn't have to be a car. It could be anything. It could be a vase. It could be something that you bought for a home. It could be a priceless or something you thought was priceless, something that you just held so dear. And then something happened to it. Something happened to that thing. And you almost lost your salvation over it. I mean, you're Baptist, so that's, but you know what I'm saying. There's a problem when things possess us rather than us possessing things. Us and our things. We love our things. We love our stuff. We love having those things. We love having my car, my house, my this. And here is where, this is a whole new level, but this is where it gets a little touchy. We love to have my people. And I'm not talking, or my person. And I'm not talking about slavery. That's a whole new level of injustice. I'm talking about the fact that this is where the freedom comes in. Nothing belongs to you, including the people that are around you. Including your spouse or your children. All of that belongs to God. Every bit of it belongs to God. And our freedom is this, that we could just give it back to Him. One of my heroes of the Bible is the prophet Samuel. But not many people remember Samuel's mother's story. Hannah, who couldn't have children. And she goes and she's praying to the priest Eli. And the Bible tells us that Hannah is praying in such a way as that Eli thought she was drunk. Her mouth, you ever pray a prayer like that where your mouth just seems to be moving? There are no words. So great is your agony. So great is your pain that you just can't seem to form words. Eli sees Hannah praying. He goes to Hannah. He says, "Woman, you've got to put away the wine." And Hannah says, "Listen, this is in the Bible." And Hannah says, "I'm not drunk. I'm just barren. I can't have any kids." And Eli says, "Listen, may it be done to you as you will. May the Lord have mercy on you." Hannah has a child. The child's name is a name of legend. His name is Samuel. And Hannah takes her child and gives him to the Lord. Samuel, for me, is one of the great heroes of the Bible. One of the few people in the Bible that possesses all three elements of leadership: a prophet, a priest, and a king. But the great lesson of that story, of Hannah's story, is that guess what? We don't own anything. Not the first thing. So give. Some of you, ever so often, you're almost there. You say it this way. I've said it myself. You know what? What I wouldn't give to be on a desert island. You ever said that? What I wouldn't give to be just away from all this stuff. At the very moment, you're thinking, man, it would be. I don't know how close you've ever gotten. I've gotten really close. But that's that momentary glimpse where you just say, I just want to be released from stuff. I want to be released from all this nonsense that just crowds me. Ever so often we get there. And reality, I guess, kicks in. There is that other thing that people say, well, Rudy, if I give away my stuff, what if people take advantage of it? If I give, this usually happens when we're talking about giving to the poor, helping the homeless person. New Orleans is a heartbreaking city sometimes. But not just New Orleans, so is Wilmington. And then someone came to me and said, Rudy, you know that there are a lot of scam artists out there. There are a lot of people out there that are pretending to be homeless, and they set up things, and they're actually got more money than me and you. That's always the line, you know. So Rudy, you got to watch out for those scam artists. So what do you end up doing? Let's be practical, right? What do you end up doing? You don't give to anybody because that might be one of those scam artists, right? And you feel good about it because you just dodged a scam artist. I think Mother Teresa probably had the best solution for that. This is what she wrote. She said, "People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered, but forgive them anyway. If you're kind, many people accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives, but be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies, but succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight, but create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten, but do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough, but give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway." When you give, you think it's between you and that person, but it's not your stuff. You don't own any of it. So give anyway. Because when all is said and done, it's not between you and them. It's between you and God. Jesus puts it this way. "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For these are all things that the Gentiles seek." The next verse. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you." Put another way, and everything else will take care of itself. Let go. Let go of your things. Let go of the things that you think you have. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. Amen.